I think, yes, Baruch Hashem, we have a good crowd on the shir. So let's make a start. Good morning, everybody. Thank you very, very much for coming on. I hope for those of you who are in Israel, you are managing with the heat. I can see a couple of you are sitting outside on your porches and mirpasot. That's great. And hopefully you get a bit of a breeze. The good news is it's only a couple more days. And it's actually meant to rain next week, so I heard, but you never know, that could be wrong as well. For those who are not in Israel, then you're probably longing for some sun, but we've got it here. Okay, so last week, let's catch up on last week, because we have some, I think, really fascinating things going on this week, in Yad Hashem. Last week what we did is we talked about, or we began to talk about the issue of porch minyanim, mirpeset minyanim, street minyanim, and just to recap basically the halachic situation, we said as follows. In principle, and this is all revision to take us into this week's share, in principle, in order to create a minyan, and we have to distinguish between creating a minyan, on the one hand, and connecting with an existing minyan. To connect with an existing minyan, you do not have to be present, you do not have to see anybody, you just have to be able to hear them. We'll talk about that today. But to create the initial 10 men who come together to make the minyan, so says the Gemara, there's a Gemara in Pesach, and we saw, you have to really be in the same place, in the same room. And the Shulchan Aruch passed in that way, that basically everyone has to be in the same makom to create the minyan. So how are we going to create a minyan through different porches and streets, etc.? So there we saw that there's another discussion in the Gemara in Brachot, which talks about zimun. And it says, in order to make a zimun, you can connect people in different houses as long as they can see each other. And the $64,000 question was whether we can apply the halachot of zimun to the issue of minyan. Someone's asked a question here, do you want people to be able to unmute themselves? Yes, are you not able to do that? You should be able to do that, so if you want to, but I think everybody's on mute for now. Fine. I will share the sources in just a second for this week. Thank you for that point as well. The question we had was, can we apply the dinim of zimun to the halachas of minyan? And that was a big question, because if you can, then sight will once again connect people. And we saw the Rashba last week, we had a tshuva where he says that in a case of a shul with a bima, a tall bima with railings around it in the middle of the shul, where halakhically that might be seen as a different place, do they join in to make a minyan if there's one chazan there and nine men around him? And he said, yes, they do. Maybe because it really is the same place, but also he said because they can see each other. That connection between zimun and minyan was the big discussion last week. And some people said, yes, it does work, and some people said, no, it doesn't work. And the Shulchan Aruch was not so clear that he actually accepted that fact. And many, many achronim, and we'll see today, I brought you on the sheet, you'll see in a minute, many of the poskim actually say that mirpeset minyanim do not work at all. Because unless you connect the halacha of zimun to the halacha of minyan, then you don't get anywhere. Everyone has to be in the same place. However, there are many Ashkenazi poskim who do follow the psak of the Mishnah Berura that says in a bidyevet situation, in a difficult situation, you can rely on this. And that we said is the psak of Rav Osher Weiss, Rav Moshe Sternbuch, Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon, and many others. Today, where I want to take it, what I'm going to do now is I'm going to share the sources with you on the group chat. Now that Baruch Hashem, we have a nice crowd who are in the shir. So hopefully that should appear. Any sec. Oh no, sorry, I've sent it privately. So let's send it publicly. Let's do that again. Hopefully that will be easy to do. So that should have appeared on the group chat now, and I will of course share it on the screen as well, but you should have today's sheet. I want to talk about three things today, each of which are interesting in their own right. The first one is, I don't want to dwell on too much, which is really a continuation from last week. But the second two, I think, really explore what we try to do in this year, which is the boundary between halacha and hashkafa, where the halacha ends and the machshava, the hashkafic issues, start to kick in. And the three things I want to talk about is, number one, what if there's a road that passes right through the middle of your minyan? Okay, and I don't want to spend too long on that, it's a fairly technical issue, but it's really important, and we didn't talk about it last week. Secondly, I want to talk about people connecting with the minyan from outside, answering to, responding to Kaddish, etc. And then I want to talk about Zoom Kaddish, because that is a very big issue. There are many people who have been isolated, who really want to say Kaddish and they cannot get to a minyan. And as we'll see, Kaddish is, I mean, you all know this, but we'll see the Mefarshim accept this. Kaddish is emotionally, for many people, much more important than it is halachically. We'll see there's many alternatives to saying Kaddish, but for many people, if they can't say Kaddish, something very significant is missing from their year of mourning, including many people who, in other areas of their life, are not specifically very observant, may not even go to shul, may not even daven at all, but if they're saying Kaddish for a parent, that is for them an absolute, must. And therefore, for them to be isolated and not to say Kaddish is very difficult. Can they just say Kaddish over Zoom? So we'll talk about that towards the second half of the shiur, because I really want to focus a lot of our efforts on that question. So let's start. Let me share the screen a little bit, and we'll look at this issue of the road, which is very interesting. But again, I don't want to spend too much time on. Can you all see the sheet? People can see the sheet? A thumbs up? Yes? Excellent. Thank you very much. Okay, fine. The Shulchan Aruch that talks about Zimun, again, we're back in Zimun again for a second, which is, of course, where we learn the whole idea of seeing people to connect them for a minyan, says the following number one. Shtei chaburas she'oichlas bebayit echad. If two chaburas eat in a house, and we saw last week it could even be in two houses, or b'shnei batin, here we are. Im miktasan roi elu et elu, if they can see each other, mitzarfos lezimun. Fine, they can join for a zimun. And by the way, there's a discussion, does that mean one and one and one, or does that just mean different groups of three? I'm not getting into that now. The imlav, if they can't see each other, einu mitzarfos. Okay. The im yesh shamash echad v'shteihem, hu mitzarfos, if there's a shamash, think about this point, he can connect them, because he's running from one to the other, even if they can't see each other. Kogoyin she'nichlesu mitzchila aldas l'tzarif, l'tzarif yachad, as long as they intended to join when they started eating, fine. But then we have the magic words here. V'yesh mi she'oimer, but there is an opinion that says, she'im rushut harabim mafseket bein shnei habatim, if there is a public road that goes through the middle of the two homes, einon mitzarfim b'shum inyan. There is no way that they can connect, even if they can see each other, even if they're waving to each other. Since there's a road through the middle, it's all over. And we'll talk about why that might be. Where does this come from? This is not in the Gemara, and I think this is an interesting little micro issue as to the halachic process and how to read the Shulchan Aruch. This is not anywhere in the Gemara. So where did the Shulchan Aruch get it from? It's Rabbeinu Yonah Gerondi from 13th century Spain. He comes up with this idea, and we'll have to work out where he gets it from. As far as his own idea, there's a road, it breaks up the minyan, or the, in this case, the zimmer. The question is, if the Shulchan Aruch says the halacha is X, and v'yesh misha omer, does that mean he's following that second opinion, or he's not following that second opinion? What does yesh misha omer mean, halachically? And you can apply this idea to every time you open a Shulchan Aruch and look at these words, what does this mean? So it's important to note that this is different. Shulchan Aruch is written very carefully. Sometimes a Shulchan Aruch gives a psak, and then he says, v'yesh omrim. There are others that say, and there, generally speaking, it means he's following the first opinion, and not the yesh omrim, not the second opinion, but maybe you can be machmir, maybe you can be strict like the second opinion, or lenient if it's more lenient, but this is different, this is yesh misha omer. I just want to show you one little source in the Sma, the Sefer Me'iras Einayim, which is one of the commentaries on the Shulchan Aruch. He says, generally, v'nira loyma, da machaba loy kivan lichtav yesh misha omer, mishum de yesh plukta b'zeh. When the Shulchan Aruch says yesh misha omer, he's not telling you that this is a debate. That's not true. That's yesh omrim. That's different. Ela kol makam shematza din. But if any time the Rav Yosef Karo, who wrote the Shulchan Aruch, found a halacha she'ena nizka gam kein b'shar poskim, which doesn't appear universally, but just in one place, kasav alav yesh misha omer. He writes yesh misha omer. Meaning, yesh misha omer doesn't mean that it's an opinion he's not following, it's an opinion he is following, it just doesn't appear in multiple sources. And that's indeed what the Kaf HaChaim says, that when it comes to Zimun, the Rishut HaRabim will indeed break the Zimun, if there's a road in between. Now, we'll have to look at why this would be. Is it a practical thing? Meaning, if there's a shamash, let's say, if there is a waiter running from one group to the next, okay, so there's a highway in the middle. He can't walk across the highway with his coffee or cake or whatever it is. Is it just a practical thing? Or is it like a legal thing? That now there's a highway, these cannot be the same place anymore. And we'll see that there are different ways of viewing it. The important thing from our perspective is the Taz. Because in our Mirpeset Minyanim, we'll get to them in a second, there often is a road in between. Think about it. Let's imagine you're sitting on a balcony, and then across the road, in a yard on the other side of the road, there is a minyan going. Or not a whole minyan, because of course, again, if there are 10 men across the road in the minyan, you're good to go. It's fine, there are 10 in one place. The question is, if there's 3 of you on the balcony and 7 of them across the road, according to this idea in Zimun, if this applies to Tfilah, then you're not going to be able to make a minyan. The Taz says this even applies to a private road, not just a public road. And he learns this, he says, Afilu shvil hayachid masik beinehem, again in Zimun. And he gets that from Peah. What's Peah? This is where it's so fascinating, different halakhic issues intertwine. Peah is where you leave the corner of the field for the poor. So says the Taz, one of the main, of the Forshin, main commentaries on Shulchan Aruch, that in the laws of Peah, if you have a big field, you leave one corner for the poor. If you have a field with a path going through it, a private path, an access path, that's now two fields. You have to leave two separate Peahs on each half of the field. Says the Taz, therefore the same is true here. If there's a private path, that's also Masik, it divides the two. This is going to make our Mirpeset Minyanim very difficult. Because in many, many cases, there is either a road or at least a private path going through. We have at the back of our, on my Mirpeset, which by the way I'm now, Baruch Hashem, my grapevine is so thick, no one can see me at all. Which is okay because there is now a minion in the parked avenue, so that's fine. But spaced out with masks on, I could say, mostly. But we have a little path going between us and the buildings next door. Is that going to break us up? So if you remember last week, when it came to Minyan, we talked about the Chida. Remember the Chida? The Chida who was quarantined in the Lazzaretto in Livorno when he was trying to get in. And he said, we were quarantined for 40 days there. He wrote a book in that time, or he finished a book. He said we had a Minyan of guys made of 6 on one side of the road and 4 on the other side, and there were guards on the building. And he said it works. Okay, so it sounds like, from the Chida, that it's not a problem for Minyan. This, unfortunately, is not the position of most poskim, and the Priva Gadin says that if you're learning from Zimun, you can't have your cake and eat it. That's the point. If you're learning the leniency of being able to see each other from Zimun, which, again, only if you make that link does it even work in the first place, you've got to learn it all the way through. If there's a stringency, you've got to learn it too, and therefore most poskim will rule, and we'll talk about the practicalities right now, that if there is a road between you, certainly a public road, a road between you and the other half of the minyan, it will not work. The Taz, applying it to private paths, many poskim don't follow that. Rav Moshe Sternbuch has a beautiful chiddush. He says, yes, he is machmir, that a path will divide them, but not for people above the ground floor. Think about this, it's a very beautiful logic to it. That if you're on a mirpeset on one side of the road and someone's on a mirpeset on the third floor on the other side of the road, what difference does it make that a path goes between you? You can't go on the road anyway, you're in the air. So there he's lenient for a private path anyway. Rav Asher Weiss is in principle concerned about this, but he says on a stairwell it's okay. He says if you have people on a stairwell and they're all joining the minyan from different places on the different floors of the building, he said, that's fine, that's even better than the path. Rav Rimon basically says as follows, and we've had this all around Alon Shvut, different street minyanim. There is a discussion, of course, about the shuls reopening next week. Some people think that's a good idea. Some people think that's a bad idea. I think it rather depends whether you live in a place where they keep the rules or they don't keep the rules. Okay, you can work that out for yourself. Okay, but in the street minyanim here, Rav Rimon said as follows. If it's better to have everybody on one side of the street, that's clear, on one pavement, sidewalk. Sorry, I'm English, so I don't know whether to say pavement or sidewalk anymore. Fine, whatever. You know what I mean. It's better to have everybody on one side. But if you have people on two sides, he said, if you're all standing on the sidewalk, then actually you don't have a Rishus HaRabim between you. You're all standing in the Rishus HaRabim. Don't forget that the sidewalk is as much the public thoroughfare as the road. So he says, if you're actually standing on one sidewalk and the other sidewalk, that will work. On Shabbos, it's even better. Because on Shabbos, basically, it's effectively blocked off. And therefore, this road issue needs to be thought through. I brought you at the end of the sheet, and I'll be very happy to email it to you if you want, but I'm just going to zip to the end, which I'm not going to look at in detail now, but at the end of the sheet here, if you can see this, am I still sharing now? I'm going to share it now. Excuse me. I just took it off. At the end of the sheet, in the appendix, I brought a number of responsa on this issue, because this is really what I want to draw a line on this now. I brought you Rav Moshe Sternbach summary there on what he says you can and can't do. Rav Yosef Tzvi Rimon published a very concise and helpful and structured, as he always does, summary which was published in Makor Rishon. I don't know if you get Makor Rishon, but there was an insert in the newspaper with this on. I called him up and asked his permission to reproduce it on my sheet, which he graciously gave. I brought you here a summary of Rav Asher Weiss. I didn't mention last week, but I will now, the Sephardi chief rabbi is very unhappy about the whole Mirpeset Minyan issue. He basically rules that it's completely invalid. It doesn't work. He won't allow you to transfer from Zimun through to the issue of Minyan. And therefore, Rav Yitzchak Yosef says, yes, there are Ashkenazim who rely on the Mishnah Berurah, and they do it, although he says they shouldn't. The Sfaradim mustn't touch it, he said. And therefore, if you have a choice between davening in a Mirpeset street Minyan, where the Minyan is made up through vision, through sight, or davening on the telephone, we'll talk about that soon, with a group that's in a Minyan, you should go down the telephone route. Because he thinks the whole Mirpeset thing doesn't work, he's quite strong on that. He even, to the point, by the way, that he says that if you're listening to the people davening the Minyan and they're saying Chazorot Hashatz, you're not allowed to say Amen to the brochas, because the brochas are all brocha levatola. He allows you to answer to Kaddish. Oh, okay, you can answer to Kaddish, but not to their brocha. He's very strong in it. I brought you Rav Herschel Schachter. Rav Herschel Schachter in America, he also says it's not acceptable, although we'll see, and this is where it becomes very interesting. Rav Herschel Schachter, if you look at the whole tshuva, he's very worried about Chilul Hashem. He's, because they're in America. He's worried about people spilling onto the streets trying to make minyanim, and all the local non-Jews in New York getting very unhappy about the whole thing. He's also worried about people breaking the rules. And this is where you see that these sort of meta-halachic issues will play into the halachic discussion. Meaning, Rav Yitzchak Yosef is worried about Sephardi Ashkenazi issues as well. Rav Herschel Schachter is worried about health issues. Everyone's worried about health, but he's specifically in New York worried about that. He's worried about Chilul Hashem. He says that the whole thing doesn't work. He will not follow the lenient sect. I brought you at the end, for those who are still London-oriented, now that London is beginning to open up a little bit in terms of street minyanim, I brought you the psak by the Rav of Nei Yisrael in Hendon, and I brought you the psak of the Hendon Adas as well. Just in case you think I'm partisan, I brought you both Nair and the Hendon Adas. So you can read that in your own time, but they both basically allow the street minyanim, okay, with certain guidelines. So there is a debate about this. I wanted to move on to the next point now, but you can get the source sheet and you can have a look at it in your own time. Fine. Let's talk about the people who are in the houses. My wife has this issue. She keeps telling me that every time she pops into the shower or walks into the bathroom, she can hear some minyan davening in the morning and people saying Yehi Shmei Rabbah. If you're sitting in your house, you're sitting having dinner, and all of a sudden you hear that the street minyan gets the kedusha, does everybody have to put their food down, stand up, kadosh, 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 sit down again, everybody gets the dessert, here we are again, kaddish, sits down, gets the tea, you know, you're up and down, up and down, up and down, okay? Or can you say, listen, I'm having my dinner, I'm not in shul, I don't have to answer if I'm having my dinner, certainly not if I'm sitting in the bathroom, okay? So let's have a look at that. The halachic issue here is a slightly different one, but it's really very interesting. Look at the Shulchan Aruch number 6, please. It says, if you're in shul, yesh lechaven bi'aniyat ha-kaddish, you have to focus when they say kaddish, and we'll see the power of responding. Ul anot al sel v'kol ram, you have to answer loudly, you shouldn't whisper the response to kaddish. Ul hishtadel larutz kedei lishmo ha-kaddish. Not only do you have to answer kaddish if you're sitting in shul, but you should run. You should run to answer a kaddish, he says, which is interesting, because you know to be part of a tefillah betzibur, it's a public davening, is a whole different level. And by the way, there is no difference between men and women on this issue. People often make that mistake. I want to make this clear now. Women obviously do not create a minyan. We talked about the sources for that last week. But once there is a minyan davening, and women are present, either in shul, or maybe listening outside, we'll see soon, they have the same obligation to respond as men do. I often see in shul the women who are not necessarily responding to Kaddish, Amen Yehi Shmei Rav Mavarach, or answering Amen, and that's a mistake. Maybe they feel that since they're women, they're not part of the minyan. That's not true. They are part of the Tfilah B'Tzibur once there is a minyan. The same is true, by the way, of benching. People often make this mistake. One, you can't make up a zimun between men and women together. Okay, obviously if there's two men and one woman, you can't make a zimun there. You can have a zimun of three men, you can have a zimun of three women, I'm not getting into that now. But once there is a zimun of three men, which is an obligatory zimun, then all the women around the table are also now part of that zimun, and are halachically obligated to answer to the zimun, and may not leave the table or bench early, unless there is a halachic justification to do that, which sometimes there is, for men as well. They've got to be somewhere, got to go somewhere, whatever. But it's important, and again, I've seen many times women seem to feel that if they're, since they're women, they're not part of the zimun. They are. They just don't create it in the first place. It's an important point. So the Shulchan Aruch says you should run to try and find a kaddish to answer to. Here in number 7, it says, Hayu asara b'makam echa v'onrim kaddish u'kedusha, afinu mishe'enu mahen yachol la'alot. If there's a minyan davening, even someone who is there, yachol. Now what does yachol mean? Obviously it means he can. Does it mean he can because you might have thought that he can't because he's not there, but actually he can and he must? Or does it mean he can, but if he doesn't want to, he doesn't have to? The Ramah and Rav Moshe Feinstein seem to make it pretty clear, for Ashkenazim at least, and I don't think this is different for Sfardim, that if you're there, if you can hear, you should. Misha Amar Seyda Kedusha, you already said Kedusha, says the Ramah in Shulchan Aruch. Ubala Beis HaKnesses, and then later you come back to Shul. You're learning, whatever. Umatzat Tzibo Oinim Kedusha, and then you hear someone else saying Kedusha, Choyze Va'oine Imahem. You have to stop, and you have to answer them. So it sounds like if you're sitting in Shul, every time you hear Kedusha, you have to answer again. Rav Moshe gives a very clear reason. Look at Rav Moshe number 9. The Kedusha, kol chiyuva hu lekadesh shen shamayim. The whole purpose of these responses is a public Kiddush Hashem. That's why, by the way, many of the poskim have been so outraged at people making illegal minyanim. Because not just is it a chilul Hashem, but the whole purpose of the minyan is to make a Kiddush Hashem. That's the whole basis of the minyan. So when the whole minyan is for Kiddush Hashem and it actually creates Chilul Hashem, that's like a double whammy, okay? But it's for Shein Kiddush Shem Shemayim, but I mean it's Kiddush Yubi Niyat Levarachu. Afilu Meir Pa'amin. Even if you do it 100 times, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, Makai Mitzvah's Kiddusha, Mamash Kamoi Pa'am Risha, like the first time. V'nimsa Shemidina Mukhracha Adam, and therefore, halachically, you're obligated, Lo Mekiddusha, to say the Kiddusha in Hatzibah with the community, B'chol Pam kapam harishon. Every time you hear it, you have to respond to Kedusha. The Aruch HaShulchan, now he's talking about sitting in the shul. The Aruch HaShulchan says even if you're crossing the street. Bottom line, it seems that there's a bit of a debate about this. Rav Moshe Feinstein seems to be fairly strong that wherever you are, you need to respond. Rav Shlomo Zalman Auerbach had a slightly different approach. He basically said that the issue is if you're there in the shul, if you're there in the shul and you don't respond, then it's like publicly being Purish Minat Tzibur. Let's say you're learning at the side of the shul or the back of the shul or in the room next door and they get to Kedusha and you don't bother standing up. That's like a public separation from the community. But if you're sitting in your house, Rav Shlomo Zalman would say, then there's no obvious reason that people will see that you're being Purish from the Tzibur, then you don't have an obligation to answer. And therefore most of the poskim say that halacha lemaaseh, if you're sitting in your house and you hear the minyan go outside, it's a mitzvah to answer, but you don't have an obligation to answer. I have a couple of questions here. What if you're in the bathroom? We'll see that in a minute. Clearly you can't answer if you're in the bathroom. Someone else asked here, so if we overhear Kedusha or Kaddish from an illegal minyan, everybody's not following the rules, they're not wearing their masks, they're standing too close together, do we have to answer? Or should we not answer? That's an interesting question, to which I don't actually quite know the answer. Meaning, you didn't help them make the illegal minyan. It's not like your Masayide Ovrei Avera. If you were to join a minyan, which is illegal, and through you they create the minyan, yes, I think that is a problem, because you're assisting other people to do something which is actually an Avera, according to many people. But if the minyan is there, they're doing their merry thing whether you like it or not, and your only question is, do you say Kaddish or Kedusha? So again, as I said, if you're in the house, you don't have an obligation anyway, according to most poskim. So maybe you might feel on principle that you don't want to. But I'm not sure that being a davkinik like that actually helps anybody, because given that they're davening already with or without you, to respond to the minyan. Someone actually asked me a question also on the email this week, which was the should they join in with a minyan if they're already making a minyan, but it's not a legal minyan. So again, I think, I'm not a posek, but I think if you're helping to create the minyan, that's different. But if you are just an ancillary to the minyan, I'm not sure, but I don't think that there's any halakhic reason not to respond if you're walking nearby, if you're standing in the house, etc. Fine. So that's the position if you're in the house. What are the things, and I wasn't really aware of this halacha until I checked into this, there are some things that might block your response. What does that mean? So have a look here, please. In source number 11. The Shulchan Aruch says, Hayu asara b'makam echad, v'aynu kadosh kedusha, afilu misha einu mahem yachal anot. We saw that. Other people can answer. The yesh oimrim, oh, here we see yesh oimrim, which means that this is not necessarily the halacha. Chitzara shalo yehei masik tinuf, or avodat kochavim. That if they're in between you and the minion, again, they already have a minion. In between you and the minion, there's tinuf, or avodat kochavim, then you don't answer. What does tinuf mean? Tinuf means dirt. And there are all sorts of halachas, which I'm not getting into now, to put you off your morning coffee, about if you're standing near animal waste, or rotting garbage, or foul-smelling things. This, by the way, is very lemaisa, it's very practical. The park, which has the minion behind my house, before they came to clear it up to make a minion there, was full of all sorts of stuff from people walking their dogs. That, by the way, shouldn't have been there anyway, because it's you're not allowed to dirty the public areas halakhically anyway. But are you allowed to daven there? And it's a real problem. And if you're really interested in this issue, by the way, you can look in the Shulchan Aruch, and they go through a whole list of different kinds of animal waste. Dogs and cats and chickens and horses. And obviously, if you live in an agricultural society, this is very le'inyan, this is very le'maisa. So here he says that you shouldn't join in if there's waste in between, or avodat kochavim. What does that mean? Avodah Zorah. A church is a church of Avodah Zorah. We had a whole share on this, if you recall, whether churches today are Avodah Zorah or not. But maybe there's a church in between. The Mishnah Berurah has a whole discussion. What if there is an oved Avodah Zorah in between? What if there's an idolater standing on the road, and the minion is on the other side of the road, and you're on this side of the road? Does he stop the Shekhinah, if you like, connecting into the road? These are very interesting questions. What about a non-Jew, regular non-Jew today? Are they considered to be idolaters? That's a whole interesting question. I brought you Rav Yosef's analysis, where he goes through this, which I'm not getting into now. The Maitre, he says, that if you're sitting in your house, and you can't see what's outside, you don't have to assume that there's something between you and the minion. But if you're standing outside and you can see there's smelly garbage in the road, then you can't join in. By the way, that's true. That's true also if you're an Ashkenazi and you're creating a minion through joining people together. Also, if there is stuff which is smelly, or I don't suppose you'll find a church in between, but you never know, in Chuslaritz you might, then that is a halachic problem, and you might not be able to create that minyan, even for the Ashkenazim. Fine. Just let me leave you with a thought before we go into Zoom Kaddish, which is, let's think about what are we trying to do when we make a minyan, and the answer is we're trying to join 10 minds and bring the Shekhinah on some level into this environment. So we're not just thinking about physical blockages. This is part of the discussion about the road as well. When it comes to a zimun, maybe it's about, can you run across with a plate of food or not? When it comes to a minyan, it's a different kind of connection. It's a spiritual connection. It's a cerebral connection. And therefore, maybe there are different rules that would apply. That's why, for example, if there was for a zimun, it won't make any difference if there was a tinuf in the middle, only for an issue of a minyan, because maybe there's a Shekhinah issue going on here as well. Fine. Let's leave this to one side. Again, fascinating topic. Let's talk about Kaddish. And let's analyze this for the second half of the shiur, because I think that this, for many people, and people have, a number of people have asked me this question, and therefore I looked into it, and we're going to have a discussion here. Fine. If you have the sheet, we're on page 4. Let me just stop the share for a second. It's very clear, let's get clear at the beginning, it's very clear that you can't make a minion through Zoom. You can't do that. You have to be in the same place to make a minyan. So we may extend that so people you can see visually that you're here and he's there, and we had a whole discussion in the middle with a road or this or that. But through a electronic link, you cannot create a minyan. Everybody agrees on this. Okay, you can go and find the reform communities, I'm sure will make things on Zoom, and the conservative community will make things on Zoom, but halakhically it's a non-starter. You cannot make a minyan on Zoom. Everyone agrees on that. The question is not that. The question that I want to look at is, there is already a minyan. Let's say that there's a minyan in the street or by the kotel or whatever, and there's a camera on it, and you want to connect into that minyan by Zoom, and you want to say Kaddish. They have a loudspeaker, and they're going to hear your Kaddish, and they're going to answer to your Kaddish. Can you do that? Is that in any way viable? So I want to look at, with your permission, I want to look at 7 different solutions to this question and go through each of them in turn and look at whether they work halakhically, look at some of the hashgafic issues as well. So let's have a look at the first approach. The first approach is that absolutely not. You cannot say Kaddish on Zoom. You may not say Kaddish on Zoom. Kaddish is something that requires a minyan, and you, sitting in your house or standing in your house, are not part of the minyan. Okay? So the first approach is you can't do it. By the way, a separate whole question, which we're not going to deal with now, is what about women who want to say Kaddish? It's not just men who want to say Kaddish. Women also, many people have taken on Kaddish. In principle, there's no difference between men and women on this issue of Kaddish, although I'm not getting into whether women can, should, must say Kaddish right now. But the first approach is that you cannot say Kaddish because you're not part of the minyan. Rabbi Mon says this, and most of the posts can say this. Even if you're physically, let's say you had a minyan which was in the street, and you were 4 blocks down, and you can hear them, but they can't see you. Can you scream Kaddish from your balcony so that they can answer? No, you can't do that. You, when you say Kaddish, you are the shliach tzibur for that Kaddish. You have to be part of the minyan to make to say the Kaddish and to make the Kiddush Hashem. Of course, there are many alternatives, and I want to share with you an important Kiddush Shulchan Aruch. Kaddish is over. There's an overemphasis on the importance of Kaddish. And again, like I said at the beginning, as you move into the less observant community, Kaddish becomes more and more and more and more important. Because for people who are part of the general Torah and mitzvahs world, there are many alternatives to learning Torah, especially Mishnah, which of course is the same letters as Neshama. And there have been lots of amazing projects of people who are learning Mishnayos for the people who have passed away recently, giving tzedakah, saying Tehillim, doing mitzvahs. And I want to share with you this Kiddush Shulchan Aruch, number 12, because it's an important one to know. Afal pi she'amirat Kaddish v'atfilas mo'ilos la'avos. Okay? Even though saying Kaddish helps, it certainly helps, it does something for the parents who have passed on. Mikol makam ein elu ikka. Kaddish is not the main thing. Of course, it's talking parents here, because of course, even though you say Kaddish for other relatives, parents are the main focus here. It's not the only way to do it. It's not even the main way to do it. Ela ha'ika, what is the main thing for the child? Hu shehavanim yelchu ba'orech mishor, is that the children should go in a straight and narrow good path. They should be good people. Ki bezehe mazakin avos, that is the best credit to the parents that you can have. Not the Kaddish, the way you behave in life. V'yesh lo la'adam mitzavos izban of lahaksik ve'ezeh mitzvah. A parent should tell their child, rather than just saying Kaddish, of course, definitely if you can say Kaddish, but the parent should tell the child to take on a mitzvah in the parent's memory, and be particularly careful in that mitzvah. The im makayim in nechshav yotzei min haKaddish. It's better than Kaddish, he says. For hu takanas tova gam lemisha ein lo banim ela bamis. And that's fine. That's a good answer for people who don't have any sons, who only have daughters. Again, not getting into the issue of women's Kaddish. And therefore, there have been many people who have stressed in the current circumstances that the most important thing is not Kaddish. If you read Rav Willig in America, again, the American Rabbonim are very worried about people going to illegal minyanim and chilul Hashem. They've said v'chai b'hem is more important, health is more important than saying Kaddish. Do not risk any of those things to say Kaddish. Do some of these other things that can be done that way. Fine. That's alternative number one. Don't say Kaddish. There are other things that are more important. But some people aren't happy with that. Understandably, we'll see soon why. Second alternative. Well, maybe you can say Amen to someone else's Kaddish. What is the benefit of saying Amen to a Kaddish? And here we'll see something that I think people have heard before maybe, but maybe not have focused on. Saying Amen to the Kaddish is actually better than saying the Kaddish. Meaning if you are in a situation that you can't say Kaddish because you're not with a minion, to say Amen to someone else's Kaddish is actually a preferable solution to saying the Kaddish. Number 13, Gemara in Brachos. Rabbi Yose Omer, Gadol Ha'ayna Amen Yose Min HaMavarech. The one who says Amen, generally Amen, we'll get to Kaddish in a minute, is greater than the one who makes the Bracha. Why? Why is the person who says Amen greater? Because you could say that they're giving the Eidos and the two people they needed for testimony. The Gemara gives a marshal. Amalei Rabbi Nohorai HaShamayim Kainu. I vow that this is the case. Say then, you should know, Shehari Gluyirin, Yordin, Umadgirin B'milchama. The first, when you go to a war, you send in the first lower level troops to wear down the enemy. The Giboirim, Yordin, Umanatchim. And then the crack troops come from behind and win the battle. So the Nimshal, obviously, is the Brocha is the beginning, but the Amen is the thing that really makes it. And the Gemara in Shabbos says, number 14, Amar Rabbi Shuvah Levi, Kala Aine Amen Yehesh Me Rabba, V'kol Koicha. If you say Amen Shmei Rabba with all your power, which Rashi says is Kavana, and Tosafot says is in a loud voice, Koinin Loi Gzardinoi. That's saying Amen. The terror of the Gzardin, they bring a posset before Parois B'Yisrael, when they are removing the hindrance in Israel, in the Jewish people, the Hitnadev and Baruch Hashem. It's when people are gathering together to make a Kiddush Hashem. That takes away the things that are arguing against us. My time of Parapurayas, Mishum, the Baruch Hashem, and the Gemara brings a number of other psukim as well. Here in Amar Reish Lakish, Kala Aine Amen, B'kol Koicha, Poitchin Lo Shari Gan Eden. If you say Amen, it opens up the gates of Gan Eden, brings a posik. Al Tikri Shama Remunim, Ela Shomri Amenim. Okay, Ma Amen. And what does Amen mean? Kel Malech Naaman. Amen is incredibly powerful. And obviously there are whole projects of people who are into encouraging people to say Amen. And therefore a second solution, which is not just a sop, it's not just a, oh, you know, put you off with this. It's a real halachic hashkafic idea, is answering Amen to the Kaddish is not just as good, but actually even better than saying the Kaddish. Okay? Because you're making the Kiddush Hashem. So that's alternative number two. Alternative number three is, well, maybe you can daven together on the telephone or on the internet with a community that's davening. And this is, as I mentioned before, Rav Yitzchak Yosef says that if there are people who are online davening and you can daven with them, then you're not part of the minyan, but you're davening at the same time as the minyan, which is the next best option. Remember we said last week that if you can't daven with the minyan, you should daven at the same time as the minyan davens. Therefore, if you're together with the minyan online, you may not be part of the minyan, but you're definitely with at the same time as the minyan. Which, of course, raises the question as to what is the halachic status of the noise coming out of your computer? Okay? We had a whole shir on this. Do you remember we had a series of shirim on hearing aids? Listening to shofar down the telephone, loop systems in shul. We had a whole discussion. Again, if anybody wants that, just email me and I'll send you all the Makaras. But we saw there that there was a big debate from Moshe Feinstein on the one hand, others on the other, as to whether an electronic sound is actually halachically called a sound. On the one hand, Rav Osher Weiss says, well look, all sounds are just my eardrums vibrating. What is sound? When I hear somebody making a bracha or saying Kaddish, it's my eardrums vibrating. So if my eardrums vibrate because of your vocal cords, or my eardrums vibrate because of the speaker on my computer, what difference does it make? It's just my eardrums vibrating. So maybe it's the same thing. Others say, absolutely not. That's not really a sound. It's an electronic simulation, etc. The truth is, we're not actually that bothered for this question, because I'm not trying to be yotze a mitzvah. It's not like someone's blowing shofar down Zoom, and I want to hear shofar on Rosh Hashanah. I mean, leaving aside the issue, you shouldn't really be on Zoom on Rosh Hashanah at all. But since they had all that question with a Zoom Seder, maybe they'll have a question with Zoom shofar as well, but that's not really acceptable. But we're not talking about that. Remember, we're just talking about saying Amen to somebody else's brocha. I'm not fulfilling a mitzvah through that. Can you say Amen to a brocha you don't really hear? Even if you say that it's not real sound, maybe it doesn't matter. You have to hear the sound to say Amen. So the Gemara says, well, yes, if you don't hear the brocha, it's called an Amen Yitoma, an orphaned Amen. It's an amen without a parent. It's just hanging in the air. So that then raises the question of the shul in Alexandria. Have a look with me in number 16. There's a famous Gemara. I know it's annoying when rabbis say it's a famous Gemara. It just means that they know it. But there is a quite well-known Gemara in Sukkah. Look with me in Sukkah, please, number 16. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Mishaloi Raya Diupluskin, Diupluston, sorry, Diupluston Shal Alexandria, Shal Mitzrayim, Loi Raya B'Chvoidam Shal Yisrael. If you never saw the Diupluston, who's the Diupluston? It's the big shul, the big synagogue in Alexandria, which was in the 1st, 2nd century BCE into the 1st century CE. If you never saw that shul, you never saw Kovet. You never saw a shul. The great shul, the great synagogue in on your Keren HaYisod, King George, beautiful, but not a patch on the shul in Alexandria. Not even close. The Belzer Beis Medrash, beautiful, not a patch in Alexandria. Okay, what was it like? Amru, because they said, Kamin Basilica Gedola Haita. It was like a basilica, a massive public building. The Stav Lifnei Mistav. It was colonnades before colonnades. There were sometimes 600,000 people there. Let's assume that this is exaggerated. But there was a lot of people there. Okay? So Amri Leki fly me yokiotmi. Maybe double 600,000. But that's not the point. The point is this. Ubima shall eight ben sata. There was a bima of wood in the middle of the shul. The Chazan HaKnesses and the Gaba would stand on the bima. We're talking 2,100 years ago. Okay? 2,100 years ago. And he had flags, like semaphore. He'd have flags in his hand. And when he became time to say Amen to the Bracha, when they were doing Kriyas HaTorah, whatever, someone said, the Bracha, Halomenit Besuda, the guy, the Gabba, would wave the flag. Amen, and all the people would say Amen, says Rashi, because they couldn't hear. The place was so enormous. I mean, it may be because they couldn't hear because people were talking during Kriyas HaTorah, but Rashi doesn't entertain that possibility. He says they couldn't hear because everybody was too far away. But, okay, they couldn't hear, but they still said Amen. So Tosfos asks, how can they say Amen? Why isn't this a bracha, an Amen Yesoma? Why isn't this an orphaned Amen? It's an Amen with no bracha. The answer is, he says, we only have a problem with an Amen Yesoma if you're trying to be yotze with the mitzvah. If someone's making a bracha for me, I'm listening kiddush, let's say. I'm listening to the bracha, I'm saying Amen, it's as if I'm making kiddush. Okay, so then I have to hear the bracha. It's shomea ka'ayne. But if I'm just saying Amen to a bracha because you say Amen to a bracha, that's what you do. It's the mitzvah to say Amen. It's better than the bracha, so I don't need to hear it. I just need to know when it is. If I know when the bracha ended, I can say Amen. So too on Zoom. As long as it's live, and there is a slight delay on Zoom, but the delay on Zoom is very, very short. It's not like on the radio, by the way. The radio is a problem. Because on the radio, they put a few second delay when you're on a live talk program, because they're worried, obviously, what someone's going to start talking about on the radio, and they need someone in the studio to press the, you know, panic button and cut the transmission. So on Zoom, that's not the case on Zoom. On Zoom, if you ever tested it, it's half a second, it's less a delay, and therefore as long as you know which bracha they're saying, which you presumably can hear, even if it's not a real sound, it doesn't matter, because it doesn't need to be a sound at all, and therefore the shul in Alexandria will help us enormously, therefore you can definitely join with the minyan. You're not part of the minyan, but you can say Amen, you can daven with them, it's tefillah at the same time as the community, that's also a beautiful thing. But what about Kaddish? You still can't say Kaddish, or can you? We'll see that in a minute. So solution number four is as follows. Maybe you can hire somebody to say Kaddish. Does that work? Let's say you're in a bind and you can't say Kaddish. Does it work to hire somebody else to say Kaddish and pay them to say Kaddish because you can't say Kaddish? Or maybe you can, but you're worried you might miss Kaddish. So the answer is yes, this is a very ancient minhag. It's not just a modern thing. I brought you, I'm not getting into it now, number 18, the Ben Ish Chai. The Ben Ish Chai actually says, look at the end, he says you can hire someone. Well, mashma shahaya lahem minag kadmon. It was an ancient minag, he writes in the 1800s. Liskor adam, to hire somebody, lomar kaddish bishvil nefesh anista, for someone who had died, to hire that kaddish, and that's a very ancient thing. Very often they give money to the soccer. Eish HaTorah is doing this. I have a friend in London who tragically lost his mother a week or two ago, and there's no minyan. He can't say Kaddish. There's no way he can say Kaddish. Eish HaTorah running a service, they're saying Kaddish for people who are unable to do that. That's a real thing. It has roots, and the Ben Ish Chai talks about it here. Now, a few other people, let's give two other options. A few other people have raised something that I'd actually never heard of before until this whole debate. Is there is a version of Kaddish which is designed for individuals without a minyan. I don't know if people knew about this beforehand. It's Kaddish Le-Yachid. And actually, in even going back as far as the Ge'onim, I brought you here two versions of this Kaddish. There's a version from Rav Amram Gon, which is in his Sidur. It doesn't appear in the regular Sidurim anymore. I don't know why that is. I've never seen it printed in a Siddur. I didn't know about it until recently. It's a Kaddish designed for people who don't have a minyan. And if you look at the wording of it, it's basically beautiful psukim, talking about Kiddush Hashem, it's a tefillah, Tzura Alonim, Adon Kol HaBriyot, Elok HaKol Nefashot. It's a tefillah. It's a tefillah that anyone can say when they're on their own. Men can say it, women can say it, anyone can say it. It's not really Kaddish, but it's a Kaddish equivalent. Rav Yehuda Chosid from the 13th century also has a version, a Kaddish Le-Yochid, okay, which for him is just three psukim. Now clearly, there is absolutely no reason why somebody cannot say that, even without a minyan. It may not be Minag Yisrael, I'm not sure whether there are people do that. I don't know if anybody on this, send me a chat on the group chat if you've ever seen people saying this individual's Kaddish. I certainly have never seen it, and I've never read about it. But now in the recent, you know, weeks that we've come up with this question, then people have started talking about this again. So that exists as a possibility. The last two, which are in the last 10 minutes of the shiur I want to look at, is two more solutions, which maybe some of the slightly more radical of the poskim have talked about, which I'm going to discuss with you now. Rav Yuval Shurlo is an interesting person, maybe a bit more on the left of the spectrum of the Hashkofa within the Dati Lumi world, very Choshev Rosh Hashiva, was in Ra'anana, and now in Tel Aviv. Rav Yuval Shurlo has a piece which he posted on Facebook. I found this piece of his on Facebook, and he says, you know something? Even though when you're not in a minyan, you can't do things which require a minyan. But sof, Kaddish is actually not a bracha levatola. So what's the downside, he says, if you say Kaddish? Meaning he says there's no upside. It's not really Kaddish. Kaddish only works in a minyan. But there's no downside. It's not like you started saying Chazaras Hashatz, which is bracha levatola after bracha levatola. It's a bracha in vain. So he look at his formulation here in number 21. He says, Yeshna halacha. There is a halacha. Ki dvarei shebe kedusha yecholim ne'amar rak v'nochachutam hafizit shel asar dvarim. That dvarei shebe kedusha, Kaddish, kedusha, baruch hu, can only be said when there's a physical presence of 10 men. V'gama mekinin kusheheim royin echad et asheni zo nochachut fizit. And even those Ashkenazim who are lenient allow porch minyanim, as we've discussed, that's still a physical presence. The fikach, he said. I want to make it clear. Lo nitan lekayim tefila b'minyan ele b'nochachut fizit. You can only do tefila with a minyan physically. Kevan she kayom nochachut zo holeched v'neseret lechalutin. Since we can't do that today, anu anusim, we are forced. There's no other option. Lo yicholim lekayim et advarim shebikdusha. We just can't do it. He doesn't allow you to make a minyan over Zoom. That's for sure. However, Lagabi Amirat Kaddish, but if you really want to say Kaddish, he says, Vishal Uvda She'em Ba Dvarim Levatola, since the reality is that there's no real Dvarim Levatola, Ein Issa Loima Kaddish. There's no Aveira to say Kaddish. Achgam Ein Lekach Mashma'ut, but it doesn't really do anything. It's not really Kaddish. He's straddling this kind of delicate line. You really want to say Kaddish. I brought you a link for a beautiful piece written in London by a man who said, you know, he's not so religious, but when his, you know, mother died, he said Kaddish for the year, and it really connected with him. And now his father passed away a few months ago, and he really wants to say Kaddish. He's desperate to say Kaddish, and he pushes everything aside to say Kaddish, and now they're telling him he can't say Kaddish. He's very upset, very frustrated, okay? One of the people wrote here, I wrote at the bottom of the sheet, They said I could, quote, I could log into a Reform synagogue live stream, but that's not my community, he said. It would be like me going to have dinner with someone else's wife because my wife is in isolation or socially distancing, which is not a good idea, in case you're wondering, okay? The point here is I don't want to daven with a Reform minion. I want to daven with an Orthodox minion. Says Rav Shlomo, okay, so say Kaddish. What's the downside? It doesn't work. You're better off, say, doing mitzvahs. You're better off learning in the merits of the neshama. You're better off doing other things. Say him. But if you really want to say it, say it. Umisha b'chol zot rotzeh lomar et dvarim shebeminyan interneti rishai. If you really want to say that, you can. Ach kamo, like I said before, ein lekach mashmud shel mamash. But it doesn't really do anything. It doesn't really do anything, but if you want to, you can. And then he says a beautiful hashkafic point. Tfilat hatzibur. He said there's a difference between tfilat hatzibur and tfilat b'tzibur. Tfilat hatzibur eina k'shura l'nochachut fizit mishutetet. It's not just a physical thing. Zeu atchum ha'ikira shirui v'nachon atah l'fatech. And we need to develop this issue. Tzibur mitzpalel, when the community davens, kol echa b'beita, even if everyone is in their own home, there's no minion, there's no halachic tfilat b'tzibur, about kechelik mea tzibur, but you're part of a bigger community. This could be at the same time. Ve'iru interneti mishutaf, it could be on the internet together. Ve'kabalat shabbat shel mirpesot, on the mirpeset. Bedrachim rabim u'gvonan, there are all sorts of ways to do this. Yeshnam chashivur le'tzilat ha'tzibur ke'tzibur. And I think this is an important point. And we'll see in a minute, as we push slightly even more into Rav Beni Lau, Rav Shlomo is saying, look, I'm not changing any halachas. If you want to say things in a minyan, you need a minyan. But there's a value to tfilat hatzibur. If people are coming together on Zoom and saying things that they're halachically allowed to say, okay? And if you really want to say Kaddish, he said say Kaddish. It's not prohibited. It doesn't really work. But there's a value to that collaborative tfilah that people need to come together. I really hope that when all of this is over, b'mehera v'yameinu, and we get back to some kind of quote-unquote normal life, okay, some people may feel their lives were never normal, but whatever normal is, I really hope that we can take something of this kind of spirit a little bit with us, that people want to connect with other people now. Even people who were pretty unfriendly beforehand now feel the need to connect with people. It's that tfilat hatzibur. It's a different to a halachic concept. And I think we have to remember that as well. And the most extreme expression of this is Rav Beni Lau. Rav Beni Lau, of course, is a very important Rav in Israel, very much on the left-leaning fringe, halachically and hashkafically, of the Dati Lumi world, connected with the Kibbutz Adati movement as well. We talked about him and his position on women in the army recently. So he connected up with Rav Eliezer Melamed. Now this is very interesting because Rav Melamed, hashkafically, is from a very different place. Okay? He is very much from the Kavnik side in Harabracha, etc. But halachically, he's also quite mechudash. He is a very independent thinker in halacha, and he comes up, his Pnine Halacha Svarim have been extremely important in developing people's connection with halacha in the Dati Lumi world. And Rav Melamed apparently reported, and here's some homework, I've not been able to find out if this is verifiable, but it was reported clearly in the media that even though Zoom is not a halachic minion, he agrees with that, it's good enough to say Kaddish. A little bit like what Rav Shlomo was saying, maybe, in the sense that he's saying that there's no downside in saying Kaddish, because there's no Baruch Levatola. Maybe even Baruch Hu. And again, what am I talking about? Ten men, connected through the internet, not with any physical presence at all. And Rav Lau picks up on this, and I want to just finish with this really interesting piece from Rav Lau, because it's gonna make us think a little bit more about the interface between halacha and religion. Again, Rav Lau is coming from a place where he's saying there's the world of halacha, which is very important, and then there's the world of religious connection. You know this. You meet people who are not halachically observant, but they feel religiously connected. Now, that's obviously not in any sense ideal. We want to help them be halachically connected. But he says, don't disrespect religious connection. Look at what he says in number 22. We'll finish with his thoughts. Legabei bidud. Yesh panim rabot. There are many different aspects to isolation. Okay, there's a question, by the way, before I get into that. Someone asked me a question. Putting Kaddish aside, is there a value to joining a minion that's taking place in one location broadcast on Zoom? Definitely. You're davening at the same time as people who are, as the tefillah. Are you fulfilling tefillah but tzibur? No, but you're davening at the same time, and definitely you can answer. Person asked, can you answer over the internet? Definitely you can answer, because, you know, even if you only hear from afar, you don't have to be part of the minion to answer. And it's live, like I said. Okay, back into the source. Lagabi bidud yesh panim rabot. There are many aspects to isolation. Achad mehem, hi ha'irur ha'mukhlaq shel chavayat ha'hit kahalut. There is the concept of the experience of community, hayomit letfilah, which is the daily concept of community, the reality that when you go to minyan. Misha ragil alechad pam bayom. Someone who always goes every day, or shlosh pa'amim bayom, or three times a day, letfilah. The minyan, chash b'yamim ha'ele suk shel shever. They feel a kind of crisis at this point that they can't do that. Shever amok, okay. The manginon ha'fala. There's a new rhythm. There's a new rhythm to life which puts people into crisis. Yesh par de gadol bein hasva datit lebein hasva ilchatit. And this is a classic Rabbi Lau concept. There is a big difference between halachic concept speech and or halachic ideas and religious ideas. Dat. Now, there are those who may claim that there's no such thing as dat in Judaism. There's only halacha. He says, no, there is dat. B'safa'il chatit, in halachic language, okay, atshuva ma'od shuta. It's very straightforward. Pikuach nefesh mechayiv limana mikol ha'it kalut. Pikuach nefesh stops us from joining together. V'olechein atfila b'tzivu mitzbat lot v'horat halacha. Ma'atzelet et kulam nitpelel b'beitam. Halachically, it's so straightforward. Everybody has to daven at home. You're exempt from any kind of kaddish, shul, etc. Aval yesh shafat datit. But there's a religious feeling that people have. The svar zor, in this language, yesh tzrachim pnimiim. There are inner longings, v'ruchaniim, spiritual needs, shemegim ad omek v'shoresh hanefesh, that go to the roots of somebody's neshama. L'mashal, adam nimsa b'shnat ha'avel. Someone who is in the year of Avelis. Umak pitloima kaddish b'chol yom. And they're very careful to say kaddish every day. V'yameshigra, on a regular time, not in lockdown. Humaletet kol alut shelo. He pushes in his entire calendar to one side. But surah b'terefet, v'ilvat shelo yimanem elom kaddish. To avoid saying kaddish. You've seen people do all sorts of crazy things. You've heard all the stories. Someone needs to say kaddish in Israel, and therefore they can't. It's 2-3 o'clock in the morning, so they call 10 cabs. And Yossi comes with his cab, and Moshe comes with his cab, and he calls 10 cab drivers, and they'll say, I don't really need a cab, I just need a minion for Kaddish. Okay? So, okay, whether those stories ever really happened, of course, the way that the story normally ends is, all the cab drivers said, oh, I did a mitzvah, I'm not going to charge you for my time. Okay? Maybe. I'm a bit skeptical about that end to the story, but whatever. People really need to say Kaddish. Yachol ma'od li'od. She'ota ome kaddish, it could be that this person who needs to say kaddish, or a merit kaddish, or the woman who needs to say kaddish, v'yimei shigra in a normal life situation, lo ma'kpik klal atzvila b'minyan. They don't normally go to shul at all. Or afino atzvila b'chlal. Or maybe they don't even daven, but they've got to say kaddish. Aval ha'kaddish po'el al lomo ha'intimi, kaddish affects the intimate world of a person, v'hit kashrut she'beino lebe Hashem. V'chavayat ibud ha'evel. It's part of being An avel. You've got to say kaddish. But savayil chatid kaddish ayotom kimat lo kayam. And he ends with an important point. On a basic halachic level, kaddish is almost irrelevant. Hu nolad b'mitziyut historit mucharet. It came very late in history, very late from the Middle Ages. Mukama be'archaraika chatid namuch. It's very low in the hierarchy of halacha. Aval b'svar datid. But in religious terms, hu nimtza lemalo gvo b'seder hitkadmuyot. Shel Adam. It's very high on many people's priorities. Ulachem bitl kaddish me'olamo shel ota Adam pogeh b'mashehu ma'od amuk v'intimi. Again, you could argue, and I'm sure many would argue, that Rav Lau is blurring the lines between halacha and feelings. And halacha is so critical to be absolutely clear that the halacha is what the halacha is. You can't start blurring this anidati balev, anidati no, there's no such thing. It's halacha. Rav Lau is not coming from that place. He's coming from a place which is basically saying that, of course, you have to respect the halacha and keep the halacha. He's very clear about his halakhic lines. But you've also got to respect people's non-halakhic religious netiyot, and if you can find, and this is where the halakha and the hashgacha meet, if you can find a way to halakhically allow something, even if it's fringe, but which meets this really deep religious need, then you have to try and do that. He does that in a way that other people would not do that. And again, I can see the advantages and disadvantages in his approach. He's coming from a very holy place, but is it a place which leads to a very holy place? I'll leave you to think about that in your own time. But that's really what I wanted to show you. Hopefully that gives you some breadth of understanding. What exactly you do, speak to your local Orthodox rabbi, and get some guidance on the way to say Kaddish. And if Hashem, certainly in Israel, we should have access to Minyanim fairly soon, but in England, they're only just coming blinking out of the darkness into the outside to see what they can and can't do, and in America also. So hopefully this has been interesting and enlightening. Next week, there's Rat Hashem. Also, Baruch Hashem, I just want to say that the internet didn't go down today, which is a wonderful thing, and maybe a product of the fact that we put a lot of money into it this week. Okay, that's fine. It may have been your davening. Thank you for your davening, if you davened my internet, but whichever way it was, the money, the davening, ein kemach, ein pera, etc., it worked. So next week is pre-Shavuos. We're going to have a shir on Wednesday next week. I want to completely change tack into a pre-Shavuos inyan, which is the following question, which is, how was the Torah written down, in fact, in halakhic thought, and why does this actually matter a lot today, which it does, for reasons that we'll see next week. It's not just a theoretical concept, it has halakhic implications ad hayom hazeh. So we're going to talk about that next Wednesday, Yetz Hashem, and then it'll be Shavuos, but for now, thank you again for your questions. I'm going to just type on the group chat my website again. If you're interested in going on it, it's on the sheet as well, and you can find that there. You can go on the Facebook page, like I put on last week too. There's a link on the website to the Facebook page. But thank you very much. I wish you all a cool week and a productive week in Mitzvah Hashem. I look forward to seeing you all really soon. Be well and have a great week. Speak to you soon.